loyalty, or you want peace. You're just a citizen, and you're still on the leash. It doesn't matter which team you choose, that at the end of the game you lose. You're just a chess piece and a boy for the Raiders. Keep up the pawn, keep up the cams, keep up the wall, wall, wall. Keep up the reps, keep up the things, giving them all, all, all. Stay silent, stay violent, stay plugged in and divided. Cool, now let's get rid of the cat ash. Digital lighting and let's turn out the dot ash. Mr. Teal, Mr. Anderson, they warned us with a blue pill. And they tell us before they do it in the movies like it ain't real. Billy Gates, he makes a profit off disease. Buys up all the farms and pay. So they killed Charlie and they killed Molly, both the Kennedys and Marilyn. They killed Diana and they killed Jackson. We are their legacy, this is their anthem. Stay silent, stay violent, stay plugged in and divided. Bombs dropped from heaven just like hail. Dragged your own to the mud, well done Israel. When the altar and a ballot and a barrel shooting. Cleanse the country, kill the children, Mr. Baby, how do you say? Funding the digital war, Starmer like Judas and Tor. Now be a good civilian, while the folks on the hill keep making millions. Keep up the pawn, keep up the cams, keep up the wall, wall, wall. Keep up the revs, keep up the things, giving them all, all, all. Stay silent, stay violent, stay plugged in and divided. Of the cash, digital lighting, and let's turn out the dark ash. Mr. Teal, Mr. Anderson, they warned us with a blue pill, and they tell us before they do it in the building.
From Aya May, very talented pop artist from Australia. That one is called Good Citizen. She just released that music video today. Go find it on YouTube. Good Citizen by Aya May. That's I-Y-A-H-M-A-Y. We need artists on the right making compelling content. Support her now, Aya May.
Whoa, dude, is that Methylene Blue? This house really knows me. Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Hey, take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade Methylene Blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of The War Room is on. In studio with me is the one and only Ian Carroll. You can follow him on X at Ian Carroll Show. On YouTube, at the same location, at Ian Carroll Show. And you can go to cancelIanCarroll.com. He is a fearless truth seeker and independent researcher with over 1.3 million followers on X. Ian is a sharp-witted host of The Ian Carroll Show on YouTube, where he masterfully follows the money, exposes hidden connections, and encourages everybody to do their own research. And, of course, he's you've started live streaming, and you're doing a show at 8 tonight. Welcome to The War Room, sir.
Yeah, good to be back. Good to see you, Harrison.
Good to see you. And you got a lot of stuff going on. You are like the busiest man in media right now. What should we start with? Buyer? Should we start with your show tonight?
Let's start with Buyer, because we can talk about Las Vegas all night long and then, you know, five more shows about it.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm going to do tonight. But the Buyer app is a fun, lighthearted break in the middle of all this madness. And it's a fun solution too, right? Because I think a lot of times we get trapped just talking about the problems. And sometimes it's nice to zoom back out and talk about solutions and what people can actually do to make the country and their lives a better place.
And this is sort of a throwback to your early content, right? You got started going to grocery stores or supermarkets and sort of pointing out that all of these various products are all owned by the same multinationals. And that's sort of incorporated into Buyer, right? So it's an app, B-U-Y-R.
Yeah.
Right? So Buyer without the E.
Exactly. And it's in some ways, it's a throwback, but in a lot of ways, it's just a natural extension directly from the first content that my platform went viral for, is going around and trying to figure out who owns all the products in our lives, who owns all the industries that we're purchasing from. And I started making spreadsheets, and the audience always was asking, like, hey, this needs to be an app. And then finally, I met the right team, and we just developed it ourselves. There's three of us, and it's finally available on the App Store and the Google Play Store. And it has been the coolest launch ever. It's so cool to watch people actually get this in their hands and scan products in the grocery store and figure out what in their lives is family and founder owned, what's corporate owned, what's private equity, and start to be able to make some shifts and some purchasing decisions that actually, like, votes with your dollar about how you want your country to be led, how you want your economic reality to be, and what you want to be in your products too. Because I started out doing all this content about products at sort of these base level BlackRock conspiracies, which is great for views, but it's not really the heart of the real dynamic truth behind it all. The dynamic part of it is that shares confer voting rights. And so all this ownership that companies like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street hold all across the market and all these mega corporations, that ownership represents voting rights in the corporate world. It represents who's going to be the CEO of Archer Daniel Midland, who's going to be the CFO of, Unilever.
Yeah, Tyson,
right?
Exactly. These other major corporations.
And so then it also incentivizes all of these executives at all of these corporations. It incentivizes their behavior, and it incentivizes what sort of lines they're going to toe and what the general makeup of the corporate world is going to be. And the corporate world is our reality. It's all the stores we shop at. It's all the product we buy and consume and use. And so when all of the money is flowing up into their hands and they have all the voting rights in that corporate reality, they control so much of the American life, sort of behind the shadows that we never really look at. And most of the money that's being, you know, given to them is being given by us without our knowledge, because we just don't have information to understand that actually your local vet was bought out by private equity 2 years ago. And actually that product, it, like Burt's Bees, looks all natural. Nope, it was bought out by Clorox.
Yeah.
So they have these strategies to make you think you have all these choices, and it's just the illusion of choice, which we kind of know we have, but actually having a tool that's easy, that's in your pocket, that's free, that you can just scan it and then pierce that veil is one of the most it's one of the simplest ways to fight back against all this.
Yeah, and it's actually effective. And again, it goes beyond sort of the power structure to like, what are you putting in your body or on your body, right? Or you know, on your children, or what are they wearing? You know, these big corporations have the ability to hide the actual ingredients or, you know, get stuff approved that shouldn't be approved otherwise. You can actually, so does Bayer include that type of material? What do you see when you, walk it through. You go to the app store, you search B-U-Y-R, you download the app, and then what do you do with it once you have it?
You make a simple profile. It doesn't ask you for too much information because we don't collect your data. We're never going to sell data. We have no interest in that. We also don't sell ads, which is a critical piece of this whole thing, because you can't have an app that's giving you information about who owns everything if you can purchase the information. That's never going to work. So that is never going to happen, and it's just purely information. And you can just scan a barcode on any product, or you can search for products, you can search for brands, and it'll tell you who owns that product, that brand, but it also tell you who owns that company. So you can trace the ownership structure all the way to the top, and you can learn what's their corporate history, who works at that company, what kind of like investments do they have. And it does give you things like ingredients. It gives you ability to filter ingredients that you do or don't want to see. It gives you a lot of the kind of basic information that a lot of other apps give you, but it also adds that ownership layer, which is how you vote with your dollar. And you bring up a really good point that there's this element of we're being poisoned by all these different products. And sometimes that's as simple as reading an ingredient label. But actually, with the very first product section that kind of kicked this research off for me, which was tampons are a great example of a product category where actually you're not required to list ingredients on the packaging. Mm. And, you know, we can all, you know, put our tinfoil on about why that might be. But the fact that you don't have to list the ingredients on a package of tampons, it is just a blank check to put whatever you want in them. And you can just Google, you know, what's in my tampons.
Yeah.
And you can find all kinds of horror stories about what kind of chemicals and bleaches and dyes. And when I did that first report on tampons, my comments were flooded with women that just had their own personal stories about how when they changed to a more natural product, it just completely alleviated what they thought was just their natural like symptoms of menstruating. But it actually was a reaction to whatever was poison in those poisonous products. And so tampons are the perfect example of a product where reading the ingredients isn't going to help. And so the next best thing is buying a female founder owned product, because a giant corporation, like I kid you not, Energizer, the battery company, they at one point, they've since sold it, but they had bought one of the premier tampon brands when I was first doing this research. And so I'm in the aisle and I'm like doing the research. I'm like looking it up on my phone and I'm like, what? This tampon is owned by Energizer? Like, obviously they don't care what they're putting into your body.
Right.
And the contrast is that if you buy from a female founder owned brand, that's a woman that owns that company that made that brand and cares for that brand and is proud of that brand because they wanted to help women. And so it's just the most obvious example of how buying from a founder owned, female owned, family owned companies, just it bypasses the need, often, not always, to worry about what's the ingredients, because you're choosing to source your product from someone else that cares within the product, as opposed to like, there are high quality products from corporations when they want to fill the niche of natural or organic, but you can't trust the corporate structure to have your best interest at heart.
Right.
It's like maybe they'll profit off of your best interest, but it's not because they care about you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're just better off, you know, your odds are better at getting a good product with a founder owned, you know, business anyway, which is the death cycle of American corporations. Really, it's just a life cycle, I should say, where, you know, a founder has an idea, takes a risk, you know, puts his sweat, blood, equity into it, builds it up, and then it's just bought out by somebody using our money through retirement funds and private equity. And then it gets completely bastardized and incorporated into this larger corporate monstrosity. But it happens quietly. People don't know. They've grown to trust and believe in a product. They don't even realize that it's now being controlled by BlackRock, which goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with this bombshell story from Compact Magazine that's been, you know, the top of the charts all week, pointing out that, okay, this anti-white sort of anti-male agenda came about around 2014. And I was pointing out, well, 2014 was when the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Larry Finks and BlackRock all decided we're doing DEI, we're doing ESG, this is how we're going to grade companies now. And so, you know, they act like, well, it's just this phenomenon, men were being, you know, kicked out of the boardroom. It's like, no, this was a policy from on high that was dictated by BlackRock, basically, and companies were forced to capitulate to it because that's where they get their funds from. So, like, you know, I think people need to recognize, as you're talking about, the power these companies have. It's tangible and it's already affected you whether you realize it or not.
Yeah, the way that I look at it is there's sort of three baskets of influence that we're going after here. And one is actually like what's in the products, like we were talking about, is right. You have an opportunity to have a better sourcing of getting not poisoned. Then there's this sort of corporate voting structure that actually is the control mechanism of how is our corporate world run, which really dictates how America is run. And you can just look up videos of Larry Fink directly talking about in both in person, on in speeches, in live talks, as well as in his annual letter to investors. He often would talk about how we're going to push everyone in this direction because we think it's the right thing. And if you don't go in this direction, there's going to be consequences. You have to force behavior is the famous quote that he did say.
He did.
And then the third is actually the flows of money, because, you know, power and influence happens through these other complex structures of voting and of leverage over people and job security, all these other things. But the money itself is actually its own unique structure too, where when you buy founder and family owned products, your money is flowing back into your community. It's flowing back down to workers that work in your town, that live in your town. You're more likely to be buying a product that is sourced from raw ingredients that are also local, also in your community. And so, you know, no system is perfect and no family or founder owned company is perfect, but you're just a much higher likelihood when you buy family and founder owned that you're keeping the money you're spending invested in your local communities and circulating between real people. Whereas when you buy from a corporation, the vast majority of that money is actually flowing up into corporate coffers that are then getting paid out in dividends and share buybacks and all these other kind of equity structures up to the investors and the shareholders. And it's getting squirreled away in the bank accounts of the financial institutions. And it will never come back down to your local community. It is basically just the trickle-up economics of the money gets printed, the money goes to you, the money gets spent on all these corporate products that you think you have choice over, and it trickles all up into their bank account.
To the same people.
Never comes back.
Well, I love it. I mean, again, you know, we talk a lot about problems and we do want to offer solutions. And it seems like the Buyer app is a pretty brilliant, like, one size fits all. And I know my wife's going to be into it because it's a burden to have to research all this stuff, especially like for new moms that have kids that suddenly become hyper aware of what they're putting in their bodies. Or if you're pregnant, I mean, women become hyper aware of that.
Look up who owns your baby food and look right. up what toxic heavy metals and what poisons are in baby food. That is a crazy rabbit hole to go down, which kind of is a big piece of what got me going deep into this stuff.
That might be one of the craziest. Like it is insane going to the store and looking at every single baby product, and it's like the number one ingredient of all of them is corn syrup. It's like how did this ever get approved? And then you can't even pronounce the rest of the ingredients.
Exactly.
At least I can pronounce corn syrup. I can't pronounce dimethyl hexacide or whatever else.
But the other thing that we wanted to do is because we knew that like a lot of moms, a lot of people that work regular jobs would be using this app, and we didn't want to make just an app that is going to help you understand who owns everything. That's the primary purpose, but we want to make your life easier at the same time. So we included things like shopping lists and pantry features. Since you're going to be scanning products already anyways, why not build a way for you to now, like, you needed another thing that's not in the fridge but you forgot and your wife's at the store, is you can add it to the shopping list that's shared and it pops up right there. She can scan products. It's all interoperable through these scanning mechanisms, and we're actually we're planning to bring receipt scanning to the app before too long here
cool.
too, so you can actually just scan a whole receipt, throw it into your pantry, and then it's in your pantry at home. We're also looking at adding recipe generation out of that, so I know what I have in my pantry and I want to know what to cook for dinner tonight. Here's five suggestions of things that you already have in your pantry to cook for dinner tonight.
So the app's not done. You're still building it out. You're still adding
things
to it.
Yeah. So there's three of us and we have one resident nerd that is like the most gangster programmer on the world. And he's just constantly scheming up new ways to improve, new projects to build, new ways to add more value. And so the app itself is free and you can get all the basic features for free. And then there is a $5 add-on within the app if you want it that will give you sort of extra access to a lot of the features. And that way we can help pay the bills and offset all the costs in the back end so that the main app can stay free for everybody and everyone can use these ownership features and kind of pull back that veil without having to, like, everyone foot the bill somehow. So,
well, that's brilliant. And, you know, we'll We're going to move on and get into all the political stuff, but I guess just as a final note, has anything really surprised you? Like, has there been any product that you thought for sure was all natural, you thought for sure was good, and then you just find out it's owned by just the terror? What's like the worst example you can think of?
Well, actually, this is an opposite example. These kinds of questions are scary for me because I always forget specific examples. My brain doesn't hold specific examples in mind. But what pops to mind actually is it was on launch day, and I was just going around scanning everything in the grocery store, and I've got a pretty good understanding of who owns most things now. Like, I know that Clorox makes your ranch dressing, they make your Burt's Bees. I know who
you know where to look for the little Frito-Lay icon.
I've been doing this research for like years now. But I was in the pancake aisle, and I was trying to scan all the corporate products to kind of get those brands research, get the data in, make sure it was all good. And I scanned Krusty's pancake mix, you know, the most basic pancake mix on the world. That's family owned, dude. Krusty's is a third generation family owned company.
Nice. There you go.
And so there's like these little gem surprises that you like. The sauce aisle is full of family owned, founder owned sauces.
Interesting.
There's certain areas where you find just really fun, like things that you wouldn't have expected, where a brand that you would have been sure was like corporate for decades is actually founder or family owned for generations is a real way to brighten your day, actually, because
that's great.
It reminds you that America is not necessarily completely doomed. There are still good people out there, and there are people that don't want to sell out.
I wonder, are you thinking about adding any social aspect to it? Because it'd kind of be fun to share that type of stuff.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of social aspect. There's a little bit of an ability to sort of share what you find and earn some badges and ranks and stuff like that. There's also one feature that's really cool. That is one of my favorite things that no one is talking about yet, but I think they will once it builds out, is that the ability to rate and review products. That's what makes online shopping so easy, is when you're buying a product you've never had before, you can just read the reviews on Amazon.
Right.
But there's no analog for that in the grocery store. And now there is. And so now when you're, you know, looking up that new Stouffer's dinner or this like pancake mix you've never had or whatever it is, you can just see what have other buyers rated it at and have they written reviews about it. And we have some metrics where you have to have done a certain number of scans and kind of been in the app long enough before you unlock ratings and reviews, so we don't get spammed by a bunch of, you know, so that Krusty's or whoever can't, you know, spam their own reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
But as people are unlocking that feature and more products are getting rated and reviewed, that is going to become a really rich feature to sort of simplify the decision-making process and crowdsource quality.
So what's the overall, like, is this just an attempt to give power back into the hands of consumers, or is this sort of in line with like the parallel economy idea where a lot of people have been promoting for a long time, where it's like, look, the mainstream of everything is controlled. We have to be creating our own thing. We have to be shopping in our own stores. We have to be running our own social medias. And it seems like this is a very good step in that direction, where you can get people actually removing their complicity in the operations of these corporations by giving them money. You can take yourself out of that and be only supporting, you know, your own local network.
The thing I like the most about Buyer and about the two guys that I met that are my team on this, and we own it 33, 33, 33, 33. So it's equal decision-making power. And we all are aligned on this most important fact, that it's not about our ideology and it's not about our goals. We're not here to tell you what's healthy. We're not here to tell you what products are good or bad. My personal ideology is that family and founder owned is good, but it's not like the app is promoting founder and family owned brands over other brands. It's just giving you information.
Nice.
Because the whole point is that we're not going to tell you, we're not the arbiters of truth. We're not the arbiters of what's better for you or not. We're just trying to arm you with information. And then with information, we believe that people can make informed decisions that match their lives and their values and their needs far better than anyone on high, any central authority. And so it works for all sorts of different things. It can help you boycott. It can help you save money. It can help you get more healthy. It can help you support your local community, parallel economy, whatever you want to do. But it's not up to me to tell you what to do with it. It's just up to me to give you the information and to try my very best to ensure that it's accurate. And then I just can't wait to see what people do with it.
That's extremely exciting. So you can go to buyerapp.com, right? BUYRAPP.com, and get that. And you can find it on Apple and Android.
Sir.
And I know you've been working on this for a long time. I've been trying to hang out with you for the last couple of months. You're like, oh, it's this Buyer app thing, man. We got to get it done. So congratulations on bringing it out. And that's extremely exciting. And I have a feeling it's going to be extremely helpful for a lot of people. That's really awesome. Now, you're doing a live stream tonight at 8 covering the Las Vegas massacre of, you know, the shooting at the Route 66. What was that? The
Route 61.
Route 61. Yep. That's right. I think still the most deadly mass shooting in American history.
Yes.
I talked about this recently because I saw a YouTuber and it was just a reminder of like the ability of the American media landscape to cover up things that you would think were impossible to cover up. I mean, there were thousands of people that witnessed the shooting in Las Vegas whose personal testimony is completely contradicted by the official story.
Yep.
And yet it seems like the cover-up has succeeded. Nobody talks about it anymore.
It's partially succeeded in the sense that, yeah, it has largely been memory-holed. I think that a lot of people, when you start a conversation as we're about to talk about the deadliest mass shooting in American history, most Americans wouldn't know that it was Las Vegas. Most Americans wouldn't even think of that because it's not in their minds, because there has been a media blackout ever since like 4 or 5 days after the shooting. There's been a media blackout on the whole thing in mainstream media. For a long time, social media was taking posts down, YouTube was censoring videos. So they have been largely successful at covering it up, but they haven't been successful in covering up the wealth of evidence that we have, just the massive amount of data points that point to not only a cover-up, not only an alternate narrative to what they said, but also to a somewhat of an ability for alternative journalists to actually work on solving the crime, or at least providing theories that are far more possible than the mainstream one. And so it sort of is this this open book still that is occasionally people will stop in and work on it and kind of check in and talk about it. But I think that a lot of people in the wake of Charlie Kirk have this newfound appreciation for the nature of a cover-up and the nature of shootings. We just had two really tragic mass shootings in this world. I mean, we have lots every week, unfortunately, but two really high-profile ones in the last week. And so it occurred to me that maybe we should revisit this one glaring example at Las Vegas and examine what are the similarities between these things and what are the things you should look for to indicate that you're looking at a cover up.
Right.
Because, you know, not all shootings are some tinfoil, you know, false flag conspiracy. Las Vegas was.
Right.
And it very obviously was. And right now there's this, you know, this constantly evolving discussion about the Charlie Kirk assassination, where people are going back and forth about, was that, you know, some sort of conspiracy, something bigger, or was it just Tyler Robinson, the lone gunman? And I think that a lot of people are getting lost in the emotions of the moment. And when any time that there's breaking news that has people emotional, which is a tactic that they use to get you to not think, I always like to look backwards in history at something that's not so present, not so raw for us, so that we can kind of get some perspective on present day by remembering the past and learning from history.
So do you have a working theory of what you think actually happened in Las Vegas?
I would argue that I subscribe to the theories of journalists far more ingrained in the story than myself, because ultimately I wasn't there and I wasn't doing reporting at the time. I picked up the story years and years later once I built my platform and started researching like the deep state and kind of conspiracy theories and all that. And so I came to the scene of this story very, very late. And by then, a lot of really high quality journalists had already done a whole lot of work. People like John Cullen, Jason Goodman, Mindy Robinson, and many, many, many more. Yourselves included, InfoWars did a lot of great reporting on it over the years. And so what I've done is I've kind of watched and synthesized what they all say. And I tend to subscribe to some version of the probably some sort of assassination or hit gone wrong. Probably Saudi involvement based upon the global geopolitical context at the time.
Right.
But we don't have strong evidence of that. We don't have strong proof. There's actually, it's a really interesting story. The video that sort of got slid into the narrative to try to discredit that story is a really interesting one. But I think that that is the most likely. But one thing that is, you know, despite the tragedy, one thing that's really fun for me is that there's so many loose threads still to pull on that are so spooky and spicy that there's a lot of room for speculation and free thought.
Well, it kind of requires speculation because we're obviously not getting the official story that makes any sense at all. I mean, we're about to go to break, but we'll go over the Las Vegas shooting. Again, not in particular to talk about the Las Vegas shooting, but to use it as an example of the way that the American media and government can cover up pretty much anything. I mean, if you can cover up the Mandalay Bay shooting, you can cover up anything. Thousands of witnesses, they're all silenced. How does that happen?
I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to theaustinstore.com to go get the ultramethylene blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because again, a good salesman sells a product that works and is good and that I use. So take the challenge, go to theaustinstore.com now and get ultramethylene blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The IRC moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. Again, I can do hours on each product, and these are the best. You study Irish sea moss, you study Shilajit, you study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff that isn't already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm not the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, you need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you behind the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder, our bovine colostrum, all of it. 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I'm literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive. I'm stronger. I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it. Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Winter taking days.
Nights filled with longer hours.
Hey!
The IDF sweatshirt, very iconic. Oh, we got Bill in the pool with some ladies. That's the classic one. Oh, there he is with Michael Jackson and Bill Clinton.
I think 2026 is going to be a crazy year.
Man. All right, so the crew's working hard behind the scenes. I doubt you've had a chance to look into everything's fine, trust your government. Yeah, exactly. You probably haven't had time to look into this. It dropped the minute we went on air.
Yeah, not the new one, no.
Hundreds of thousands of photos and PDFs and documents about Epstein, which aligns with what we're talking about here, the Las Vegas shooting and the ability to cover up pretty much anything when you control all the levers of power and the manipulation of information. So on that,
like just off my memory, the bullets being where they shouldn't be, the singer of on stage had a bullet embedded in his bass when the Mandalay Bay was behind him. Not sure how that works. I mean, so the window wasn't broken until like a long time after the shooting took place.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it we know certain things weren't true, but we don't necessarily know the shape of the real truth. The window's a good example.
Right.
Where we were told, obviously, that the window of his two suites were broken and, you know, big broken, like up to a third or two thirds of the window was broken out. That's how they reported on it. And so he's shooting out of that window. But then we later on, great reporters and the media in general just kind of pushes really hard and gets body cam footage released. And, you know, most of the body cams were turned off for reasons. But there's one body cam from one guy that was in the breaching party. And we have the whole body cam footage of him entering the room, searching the room. They're searching all the other rooms. And in that body cam footage, there's a moment where they get called by other officers saying, hey, we're looking for the window from the outside. Can you guys go and make sure you find the window? And they're looking around and they cannot find the broken window. They're literally in the suite. We have visual in that body cam of them going to the exact location where this crime scene photos show the broken window. The next day, they're taking the crime scene photos are during the day. And you can see broken glass everywhere in the crime scene photos. You see the hammer in the crime scene photos, and it's right by this little table. You can clearly see the wind blowing the curtains. And in that body cam footage, you see the officers go to that exact curtain, pull it back and say, no, it's not broken. No, 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 not broken. And so it's like that kind of thing is just this clear, clear sign that that little piece is wrong. So when did the window get broken? Because the next morning the window was broken, right?
So somebody broke it.
Exactly. So that's where you have this, you have confirmation that we were lied to, but you don't have confirmation of exactly what did happen.
I'm telling you, we had just started doing live 3 to 5. It was sort of our first, we had the nightly news at first, but it was our first live broadcast outside of the Alex Jones show. Owen Shore was the host. I think maybe Leanne McAdoo would host sometimes, but we were going live 3 to 5 sort of to train the crews on doing live shows before the War Room and the David Knight show launched. And so it was just a crazy time because this massacre happened and the information was flooding in and there was eyewitnesses from all over Vegas talking about running gun battles on the streets and helicopter shooting. And then there's the video we just showed of the supposedly Saudi Arabian prince being escorted out in the middle of it. And it was just this deluge of like, what the hell is going on here? Laura Loomer was on the scene breaking the story. Jose Campos was the security guard that went on Ellen once and then disappeared. We never saw him again. Yeah. There were so many like unanswered questions. And then I recently revisited a few months ago and a bunch of more stuff has come out, including emails that show that Paddock, the guy they blamed the whole thing on, looks like he was a gun runner for the CIA. It looks like he was a arms salesman for the CIA. And he was either set up to do a gun trade or some sort, and it sounds like the Saudi Arabian. It was at that same time there was a coup going on in Saudi Arabia, and there was that crazy story in Saudi Arabia where they held a fake technological conference in the Hilton,
yep.
And it was just a trap. They just brought all the like high-level Saudi Arabians there and then imprisoned them, locked the doors, and shut them in. I mean, it was a crazy time. So it's fascinating to go back and revisit it. But again, why go back to this now? What's the appeal of reinvestigating the Vegas shooting now?
Well, the first thing is that a crime of this magnitude, a tragedy this grand, it deserves to be solved. Those victims, there's still hundreds of victims out there that are paralyzed, that have traumatic injuries, traumatic trauma. There's every reason to solve it just for the justice for the victims, that are and are not still with us. It's the most deadly mass shooting in American history. And the current explanation is a farce and it's a lie and it's an affront to the justice system and to the justice that those victims deserve. But beyond that, also, it's an incredibly important piece of educational content for Americans to understand in this day and age, because we live in the day and age where we cannot trust our government and where we are lied to by our own government repeatedly about all of the biggest stories and cover-ups, Jeffrey Epstein being one of the most obvious examples that we opened the sequence here with. And when you go back to one like the Mandalay Bay shooting, or you kind of go back through the Jeffrey Epstein case, or you go back to Iran-Contra, some of these ones where there's clear understanding and evidence that you can trace through and learn how to identify when you're being lied to by the government and identify what are the signs of a cover-up, what are the signs of dishonesty, what are the signs of the changing stories and narratives, and how do you sort of piece out that information space that always surrounds those sorts of stories. It's really important that regular Americans understand these things and learn from each, you know, historical incidents of it, because each one builds on the last. As technology evolves and as the government and sort of the deep state groups and bad actors learn from history, we need to be learning from history too, because Las Vegas is a good example of one where the internet was well in effect. You know, there was cell phone video of all sorts of parts of it, but AI wasn't really there yet. You know, there's all these other new technologies that have changed the game since then. And so each new incidence of this, we have to look at it in a new way, and we have to be learning as we go, just like the criminals have to be learning as they go. A lot of the criminals in the Epstein case never expected for us to be reading through their emails, you know, 30 years later, because they didn't realize the digital nature of that footprint that they were building, because it was such a new technology then. But nowadays, you know, AI is a whole new technology that we need to be contending with in these kinds of cover-ups. And so if we're not learning and retracing our steps and kind of examining the past and keeping the American public up to date on the nature of the cover-up, we risk falling victim to the next one.
And it's a lot of times it's the same people doing it. You can go back to OKC, the OKC bombing, and it's all Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and, the cover-up of that. You know, one thing that came to mind as you mentioned sort of the similarities was, I think it was Stephen Paddock's brother who, remember, went viral for – you know, the Sushi Compt, right? It was like a very, he was a bizarre character in and of himself. I think he was then arrested for child porn images, right? Exactly like the guy in Charlie Kirk who stood up and said, shoot me, this weird George Zinn character. He also gets arrested for pedophilia because he's got the pictures on his phone when he goes to the hospital. So it's another, maybe we're just surrounded by pedophiles. You know, maybe that's the case, but it would be a very convenient way of shutting up somebody who is a witness to something you don't want them to see.
Yeah. Yeah. There's little signatures, little digital
similarities,
that kind of seem to always crop up in these investigations. And for me, it's always things like changing of the timelines, you know, bullets that don't match the ballistics, evidence that when you really look at it is either been shifted or changed or just doesn't hold up to scrutiny, but gets glossed over by the authorities. Things like kiddie porn on people's, you know, hard drives that need to disappear, or missing hard drives. Stephen Paddock's hard drive was just magically missing from his laptop. It's all said that Paddock just liked to remove his hard drives from his things all the time. And that was just, he was just weird like that. It's like, okay, that makes so much sense. Uh-huh. And so there's this element where, sometimes things are illogical. Sometimes things are not the most probable way. You know, sometimes there's anomalies. Sometimes things are weird. But when you look at these kinds of crimes, when you look at these sorts of stories that have all this evidence, that have all this planning, that are complicated, they have to make some amount of sense. There has to be a narrative by which you can put yourself in the shoes of the perpetrator or perpetrators and understand why you would have made each choice and how each piece of evidence would have gotten there and how that would align with the whole picture. Because the way I always remind myself or look at it is that the actual true story will explain every single piece of evidence perfectly, because that's the nature of reality. Cause and effect, like science is science, physics is physics. And some of those causes might be random chance. Like maybe it's just a happening that person was there at that time. Maybe it's just random that bullet did that crazy thing. But the true answer will explain every single piece of evidence perfectly, even if there's some chance involved. Whereas the cover-ups usually directly contradict pieces of evidence that just there's no way to square them.
Yeah.
Like the window not being broken, right? Those sorts of things. So
And you know, with Vegas especially, you know, sometimes we talk about false flags and it seems like it's been planned and carried out in its totality from the get-go. They knew what was going to happen and they knew who they were going to blame. And there are cases like that. When it comes to Las Vegas, it seemed much more messy. And that's also, you know, people think that when you talk about conspiracy theories, you think that everything is scripted down to the letter and everything that happens was supposed to happen because it's all a trick and everything that seemed – and that's not really the case. Sometimes crazy things happen. You know, in the case of Vegas, maybe it was some random assassination attempt they didn't expect and blah. And then they're scrambling, try to cover it up. And then they got to try to find a patsy. Who do they have in the area? And so it seems like with Vegas especially, it was not a well thought out, well coordinated false flag attack. It seemed like
a chaotic attack that the authorities had to come in and sort of retrospectively say, no, no, none of that happened. Actually, only this one guy in this one room, he shot. Forget the people in the lobby of the Bellagio saying they were shooting there. Forget the people in the airport saying a helicopter was shooting there. Ignore all of that because it was so not clean. It was so chaotic and messy. But that also happens. People have to understand that the people carrying these out are also humans. They also have to contend with reality. They have to contend with unknowns cropping up. And that actually can be a vulnerability, a chink in the armor where you can actually see the truth through because they don't get everything exactly hermetically sealed and perfect.
I completely agree. That's actually why Las Vegas makes such good evidence and such good training for journalists in this kind of story, in this kind of case, because there's no world in which this was planned to happen this way. You just ran through very elegantly a lot of the elements of why that is. But I always remind myself that even when these people plan things out meticulously, they're still often actually kind of dumb. Sometimes these are just psychopaths. A lot of times in the sort of darker aspects of our world, in the black markets, in the corrupt political spheres, oftentimes they're actually elevating psychopaths. They're elevating corrupt people. They're elevating compromised, blackmailed people. So often that's like, this dude's an alcoholic. That dude's addicted to like kids. That dude's, you know, got this other problem. This dude's just retarded and he's just manipulable. And so there's all of these different people in these kinds of organizations and schemes that often are actually really shitty at their jobs. And so there's often little bits of evidence left all over the place or little weird mistakes that don't make sense. And so even the most planned one in the world, like 9/11, you can still wind up with a moving van full of Israelis that are dancing on top of their roof, like celebrating with their cameras that then get pulled over with explosive residue in their car.
Right.
So there's always little things that go wrong, but it's that larger cover up, the apparatus that must exist within our own government to be able to cover up these sorts of things that we watch spring into action with Las Vegas, that I believe we're watching spring into action with Charlie Kirk, that we certainly watch spring into action with 9/11.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of people like to jump to conclusions and ascribe like the same type and amount of guilt to everyone in these sorts of situations. But it's so gray and so complicated to understand because Vegas might be the kind of instance where it's like a foreign assassination thing going on and it's like foreign fighters fighting each other and shooting people. And maybe that the American response is just trying to cover up the tragedy and cover up the failure of them to fix this. Maybe they're trying to cover up for a political ally that was involved in that and that was attacked. There's all sorts of reasons why the American government might try to cover that up, even though they weren't the actual perpetrators of it. Right. And one of the key pieces of Las Vegas that I always come back to is that it's so horrific and so messed up. The shooting into a crowd of young, innocent civilians that are just having a good time. That's not a thing that you're like, you cannot convince me that those were Americans flying around in those helicopters, just shooting down into them like animals. You can't convince me that it was American CIA officers that were doing that. It's just not, you need a reason that like that level of violence would be perpetrated. And that's where it gets really interesting when you start to dig into other foreign angles. Some of the Saudi angles really explain that, because when you think about it, it like that really is a lot like terrorism and it looks a lot like terrorism. And you need a perpetrator where you can put yourself in their shoes and say, yes, that perpetrator would commit that type of violence against those people. And that's where 9/11 conspiracies in my mind often fall short, is a lot of 9/11 conspiracies think, oh, the American government did it. It's like you really think that the American government specifically planned to kill all those Americans? It's like, they might have been involved in the cover up in some way. There might have been elements of them, like, you know, cells within the CIA that were involved in some pieces of it without necessarily knowing the whole picture. But that's where you might have a better explanation if you look abroad for the actual perpetrator. And I'm not referring to, you know, Saudi Arabia or Osama bin Laden in that case, certainly involved. But you start to open your mind to the larger geopolitical realities around the world and the actual groups that hate America, the actual groups that are willing to kill Americans, the actual groups that are willing to subvert this nation for their own gain, or just incidentally. And that's where you start to sort of hone in on much more convincing explanations for all of the possible like data points, all of the evidence in this sort of a case. And Las Vegas is one that is just thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of evidence.
that just never saw the light of day or never was given official scrutiny of any sort.
Well, actually, there's a resource that everyone should go look up right now. It's just a website, and it's available to everyone online, and it's VegasShootingMap.com.
Okay.
VegasShootingMap.com is just a website where someone built a Google Map tool that has all of these, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of primary source data points directly linked onto a map that you can click on, and you can go to the source and you can pull it up, and it's like the original 911 call with timestamps, the original video with timestamps, the original body cam footage, the autopsy reports, and it's mapped all across the Las Vegas Strip, and it's super accessible.
Wow.
And there's a lot of the videos are broken down by time, like by the minute of when the volley is, when
oh
the
my
first
God.
Volley,
we need,
the
we need this for other stuff. We need this for everything.
And so it makes it so that anyone can get back in at any time and go back and review the original evidence for themselves and sort of like do the base layer of investigation without all the stories and narratives and bullshit that gets laid over it. And it is an invaluable resource. And I don't know who made it, but whoever made that website is a hero of journalism, and they deserve to be commended, thanked, and rewarded, because just from that map alone, the official narrative is dead.
Right.
That single map and the evidence on it.
I don't even have to see the evidence. Just seeing the amount of activity all over the rest of the strip, it's like, clearly, this was not one guy with one gun shooting in one location.
At right now is the concert location, the concert venue with all the shooting victims in the concert. But when you zoom all the way out to see the whole strip, you see just these huge clusters.
Whoa.
Like you were referring to the Bellagio. You can see where the Bellagio is, where those two yellow camera icons are kind of halfway up. The Bellagio is right up there, clustered underneath all those blue 911 calls. And you can listen to the 911 call audio specifically, verbatim. And you can go to the Oasis Apartments where suspicious men were watched changing clothes in the bushes. You can go to the airport where they had 911 calls coming in about the girl that had been shot and the gunman on the airport. So it allows the average citizen or the average citizen journalist to go back through the unfiltered reality from the primary source data, which is so important in these types of investigations because it gets lost in time. Right?
Yeah.
And you were there kind of like working at InfoWars when this story broke. And so you got this inside look at the story as it broke, at the changing narratives, like Jose Campos, the security guard, whose timeline and story changed three different times.
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
That kind of stuff gets washed away if you don't have preservation of primary sources. And his is just such an interesting example.
That is really great.
It's like, it's so fundamentally ridiculous. The basics of it is that the security guard is going to check on this like kind of room alert that is for a different room. And he's up on the floor as the shooting is happening. And originally, if I'm not mistaken, the story was that he went and checked on this after the shooting was already over. And then he gets shot at through the door of Stephen Paddock's room. Like a bunch of bullets come through the door and at him, he gets struck in the leg, he hides. But then they later changed the story to be that it happened. Actually, no, he was there before the shooting was happened. And he's given testimony that says he heard loud drilling sounds and all this. But then MGM was like, no, F that. You can't run with that story because then we look really bad. We look like our security guy got shot and we didn't report it and we're negligent. And so then they changed it to no, he got shot during, this happened during the shooting, 40 seconds after the shooting started. But it's like, bro, the mainstream story that you're trying to slide this kind of shifting piece of evidence into is that there was a cacophony of automatic gunfire coming from right here in the hallway. And you could hear this gunfire all across the Las Vegas Strip. You could hear it blocks away. You could allegedly hear it in every other hotel on the Strip because they're saying that all these other 911 calls were just people hearing the Mandalay Bay shooter. And so you're telling me that Jose Campos doesn't remember if there was automatic gunfire going off in the hallway with him as he got shot and he's shifting his story back and forth
because
he doesn't remember that?
And that's just the very beginning. Then it gets into sort of the way that I think I remember MGM like set him up with.
He was going to do a whole bunch of media interviews.
Yeah.
And then right before he did all these mainstream media appearances, he just disappeared to Mexico without a trace and was just gone. And then, like you were saying, he was then trotted back out like a week or two or three later and just did an appearance on Ellen.
With a handler.
Who is sponsored by MGM and sits down and does this really carefully controlled interview and then gone
forever. I'm telling you, there's so much stuff like that. And so when it comes to like the Charlie Kirk shooting, actually, you know, a good sort of bridge over to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, the USS Liberty, that's an example where it wasn't America shot our own ship. Israel shot up our ship, but then it was the American government that was willing to cover it up. And whether we had foreknowledge or not, I think it's pretty obvious we must have because the way it was sent in. But that's sort of a perfect example of a foreign state doing something to Americans, but the American government being willing to cover it up because the political implications would have been messy if they told the truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's, and sometimes, you know, it's that sort of thing where maybe there's a political motivation towards an ally or towards an incentive structure, money, a deal. Sometimes it's corruption, right? With JFK, it looks an awful lot like the cover up of all the parties that were involved. LBJ helped that cover up because he just personally gained and he was personally in on the plot. But then there's other times where maybe the cover up is just to cover up negligence. Maybe it's to cover up sources and methods. Maybe it's to cover up, you know, that there were Americans involved, even if they weren't operating on American orders. It's, you know, there's all kinds of different variants of these stories. And that's the real trick of it. The real difficult part is that in the moment, like with the Charlie Kirk ongoing reporting and investigation, is I think most people don't trust the government, but there's so many directions you can take it once you don't trust the mainstream narrative, once you don't trust the lone gunman 30-06 narrative. There's a million directions you can take it, all the way from people believing that Charlie's not dead and that they used a squib and that it was all faked in order to get him into witness protection, which is like, you know, honestly, there is some evidence to support that. But then there's also a perfectly legitimate direction to go where it was, you know, people from Israel and insiders maybe like within our government that orchestrated this hit for some reason. And there's a version of a lot of stories in between, and each one has certain amounts of evidence that support it. But we have so much that's not being released, so much that's still being withheld and being obfuscated. There's lies coming out from TPUSA that are slowly getting kind of uncovered. And so until you have all the data and until you can kind of really comb through all of that together, it's really hard to hone in on which of the possible narratives or theories is most likely and true. And that's why it's so important to have a decentralized space, decentralized media, where people feel free to explore possibilities and to sort of examine the evidence with a really critical and open mind. Because one thing we know for sure is that in these instances, the government's main, primary, and only interest seems to be obfuscating every other narrative, flooding the zone with bullshit, and honing in on this is the only acceptable option. And usually they slander, they lie, they censor, they shut out anyone that will say anything else to try to shut everyone up and just let the American public hear their one preferred narrative, even when it makes absolutely no sense.
Right. But if it's the only one that's on offer, it's what people will accept. But then there's the danger of, like, when you start investigating the Charlie Kirk murder, you start uncovering other stuff that is also seems bad, but it's not necessarily related. So then it gets confused because they're going, well, wait, so you're accusing Erica Kirk of killing Charlie Kirk. And it's like, well, no, not really. But we're concerned about the direction TPUSA is going now that Charlie's dead. So it all gets convoluted and mixed up when really, you know, it's there's a lot of things going on. It's not all one story. It's a lot of different stories that have a lot of overlap
often
and crisscross.
Corruption groups up, right?
Yeah.
And it's often the organizations that are involved in these kinds of tragedies or really crazy stories, often it's because they're already corrupt and they're already tangled up in some really weird shit. And, you know, if you were to ask me 1 year ago what organizations in America are highly likely candidates to be involved in some sort of corrupt, underhanded political dealings, TPUSA would be right at the top of that list. It's a massive, complex corporate structure of tax-exempt organization. Sounds an awful lot like the Bill and Hillary Clinton Foundation or the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, these sorts of charities where you can hide money flowing in and out. It's in Arizona, one of the most corrupt states in our nation, border state. A lot of reasons why you might look at TPUSA and say, you know, this is kind of shady in the first place. And that doesn't necessarily lead to, okay, assassination of the leader makes sense. But once you overlap that assassination into this sort of already kind of sketchy spot, a lot of times there's other stories kind of overlaying and you have to try to sift them all out and pull them all apart and figure out what's exactly true.
Right, because at the same time there could be things that are would otherwise seem innocuous, but in the context of an assassination is like, well, now this takes on a bigger concern. Man, we could go on for hours. You're doing a live stream at 8 o'clock tonight. That'll be on YouTube at Ian Carroll Show. You can follow Ian on X at Ian Carroll Show, cancelIanCarroll.com, and of course the Buyer app, buyerapp.com. That's B-U-Y-R. Incredible stuff. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thanks, guys.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's though one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.